Thank you for the pause.
But every day that passes comes a greater realization that you have ones looking out for you. It is not as simple as your enemy coming in and blowing you away. It is as simple as that if you can't make up your mind. We do not tread where we are not invited. And yet, if all you want is just to cover your ass, forget me. Don't ask me. Because I'm not interested in that part of you. I have one interest, and that is your soul. And if you're not interested in your soul, but only those assets, then your focus is incorrect and you are going to be time consuming. That is also fine if you don't get in the way. And you're certainly welcome to be ignorant if you bother to learn. But to take up time when there is already so much brought forth in total singular or one repetition rather than going and searching, and you don't have to search far. If you're not willing to do that for yourself, you may not ask your brother to forfeit that time that is so precious, unless that's what he wants to do. As far as your nation is concerned, it's teetering. You can watch Mr. Clinton and the game that they're playing. If they would just pay the just release the commissions that are owed on the money that Bush raised at the expense of so many of the American people and so many of the wealthiest men in the world put in, so that they could gain. It's arbitrage. It's not a matter of costing you anything, but it did cost a lot of people something, and they came in on the basis of arbitrage. And then when it came time, they took the money. The government took the money. The elite took the money. The New World Order took the money. Scowcroft, Kissinger, Eagleburger, they took the money and they funneled it through BCCI, BNL, you know, Citibank. And then when it was time to pay the commissions, they froze them. There's one Saudi Arabian sheikh that is absolutely miffed. And he happens to be the third largest and richest man in the world. And he was taken for $1.5 trillion. But they sort of won't let him into the States. Oh, he footed the bill for arms for Iran, arms for the Contra, offense for Ali North. And he's sitting there. You're never... They will pull down your currency before they'll ever pay those. And they're sitting there mostly in value because they had to show in the beginning as collateral against other things. So they've got it all tied up, all ruined, and they will collapse this government before they will ever pay that. So you can't go at it that way. Just release the commissions, we'll all live happily ever after. So you have to put something in there for the people. Why would the people raise up and write to and demand that Clinton release those funds or do something? Because there is a built-in bargain point. You release those funds, Mr. Clinton, and we'll pay for your wife's happy little ding-dong health plan. That gets Hillary on your side. makes her look a little better. Also, out of $1.5 trillion, surely they can put another $10 billion and pay those people along that Mississippi. Those are the places where I bargain. You go for that, buddy. I'll help you get that money released. And then Karen and Mitch throw back their head and laugh and they say, who? You know, they've got 110 cases, boxes of records for this case alone. It will have to be shipped out here. Ones back east are trying now to get some of that documentation onto computers so that you have something to work with. Massive. Massive job. And yet you can't go out and just ask for release of funds. These are criminals. But you can go for damages. Something that if you do win, whatever currency or debit system or whatever is the working order after the collapse of the currency, then you may have something of value to come back. So they're not going to release a bunch of currency to you. Certainly not going to release a bunch of gold to you. You're teetering anyway. You don't have any foundation. It's like a dirigible with a hole in it. It's just going like this, all over everywhere. Holding up long enough to get these things squelched, do you see? Get it all under control. And when your own Secretary of Treasury and Attorney General are paid by the International Monetary Fund, not even your government, guess what? That's your judicial system and your money system. And it's all being run in America through that Federal Reserve system. And then it's all funneled into the International Monetary Fund, where you're going to go borrow some more to pay for Mississippi at a very high interest rate, just going to suck you in deeper. Will it work? What else are you going to do? Just waiting for it to all fall out. Good luck. It's all going to fall out. There are ones doing something. And in some of the smaller counties, there is a possibility of making a step. I can tell you now, in Kern County, I'm sorry, Brian, the possibility of getting something done like happened in New Mexico, or like Sonny's going to talk about in a minute, is so remote. As long as you have judges like Randall, who has a satanic underground place out at his ranch where he entertains the rest of the hierarchy of Bakersfield, and you have the corrupt politics that you do at Tehachapi, and that is so prevalent in Kern County that it is one of the worst counties in the state of California for corruption, the thought of getting a system pulled out is overwhelming. Does it mean it can't be done? No. With work and God, everything is possible. Obviously, you have to start where you can crawl and win. And it means that ones have to support and be willing to get out there Tehachapi is a bad place because we're here. Don't do anything to anybody. And yet the politicians cringe just at the mention of Becker's name. They have done nothing except be the brunt of the criminal politics. And yet they all tremble. And the word comes back even from the cotton-picking racetrack. They're going to get those people out of there. What in the world have they done? Well, you see, truth is dangerous. That's it. Truth is dangerous. Truth uncover their criminal activities, and they're out. There are enough good people. But see, until it is uncovered, the hope of getting anything done becomes very zilch. And until people know that this other exists, nothing will be done. These ones have gotten shifted through every one of the court justices in Bakersfield. Some 13 to 15 judges. And they all rule with Judge Randall. Well, why would that be? Because Judge Randall is a presiding judge. He picks the judges to hear the cases. He's the one who presides over the grand juries. And you've read that in your local paper. Well, if they're playing these other games on Friday and Saturday night, and this becomes a haven for a weekend frolic like at Bohemian Grove, where you go out and you drink yourself into a stupor, and it basically is a homosexual gathering. And they're ones that have been there. Because they bring in food and, you know, they have servants to come in and help. The Bakersfield, California was obtained as criminally as you can possibly obtain anything, and it's basically a criminally operated paper. Totally controlled. And you get on the bad side, my goodness, it takes guts to take them on. You are taking on the corrupt branch of the City Fathers. Ask Tony down where you get the print, the contact printed. It's hard to survive against those ones. And yet if you always keep your nose clean, they can't just do something to you. It's too visible. But they certainly manage to get it done and smile while they're doing it. So everything. Now it sounds like, you know, Sonny could come back and say, well, why should I speak? You just said, isn't it? This isn't worth a thought. That is not what I said. You're going to have to do something. And no one from here might go out there and spearhead a drive. But we certainly will put a notice in the contact for any of you patriots who are willing. And then anyone who wants to participate, we just back it all the way. There are ways to get your counties turned around and back in the hands of the people. And more and more and more groups are springing up. More and more meetings are being held on the subject. And Sonny's come out here with Brian to share that. And I would appreciate it if right now he would do so.
Ladies and gentlemen, not much of a speaker, But had anybody here heard of the Catskill County incident down in New Mexico?
I believe that everybody here has. They may not think of it in those terms, but...
Okay, Jim Catherine is a gentleman that kind of spearheading this operation. It's called a National Federal Land Conference out of Utah. When that incident happened down in New Mexico, the organization up in Utah sent one of their staff down, and Jim and all those people down in New Mexico got together, and what had happened down there, they just completely put those people out of business. They took upon their own, passed this National Federal Land Conference through their program, what they call a hometown rule, and it had been 100%. Since 1990, there have been 300 counties had put this program up. 175 of them had already adopted, trouble-free. And November 13th, I got six speakers coming in from out of state. Jim Catlin is one. Ruth Kaiser out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I take it back. Ruth Kaiser is out of Utah. Karen Budd is out of Wyoming. And I talked to John Quayle here today, and he said he would be glad to speak, but this is their program out of Utah. It is not John's. So I told John, if they want you to speak, you can. If they don't, it's their program, and it's an all-day session. It's from 9 to 5. There will be lunch at the Hodel Cafe in Bakersfield. And like I said before, if they have, I got a tape over there. This lady up in Northern California went to a seminar in Chico, California. 90 days later, they had three of the draft program passed and adopted. That's in 90 days. So we talk about years and years and years. If the people get together, we can do it. And put this country back where it was supposed to be. Thank you, ma'am.
Maybe that could be lifted out. And we can begin to carry some notices if that's going to happen.
I don't think people are clear about what that's about. What the Constitution is in.
Would you like to speak on it just a minute? Rick has received quite a bit of information.
What he was just referring to is a county in New Mexico. What he was just referring to is a county in New Mexico that adopted the Constitution as its form of government. And there are many other counties throughout the United States that have done so, and as such they've taken their power back and restricted involvement by federal officials, etc.
By my dad, though. It sounds very good, but guess how the big federal boys get you? It's very, very hard to enforce those laws. And so they can withhold funds. You know, there are many, many ways to bury you. And yet if the assumption is they're going to bury you, you're going to get buried. And it really bothers them just to have ones get together and win a little bit, and then win a little bit, and then win a little bit, and then you have that to base your court actions. You at least then have something to write a valid motion of law about. Of course, here's where we really get into it. Anybody been watching the Bar Association cute little tidbits that are coming out in the news right now? I don't even know where they're meeting. New York. I'd have to go look it up. But they have books on back pain and whiplash and, you know. Get informed, lawyers. Well, if you can get over the legal hurdles in your nation, my goodness, wouldn't it be nice to have about 300,000 Jerry Spences? And yet it takes one. Just one can do it. And certainly you can't do it otherwise. If anyone in this room is really curious about this and really wants to look into this, there are two or three sets of paperwork about exactly what they did and how to do it floating around at the contact. A whole set of papers. Now, it is not easy. You have to go and get city fathers' names and all of these things onto these papers. So it's a job, and it would take a lot of pulling together. But you can't do anything until you go and learn what they're talking about. And then when you know what it is that you're about, you may be able to figure out how to make it work, because it certainly could. It certainly could. And I appreciate him coming out here to share that. Is there anything else that anyone would like to share?
I'd like to say happy birthday to Sananda.
That would be very nice. Forget December 25th. It's August 8th.
Huh.
Year zero. You're about to kick off number six of your new year, too. August 17th, you begin on year seven. You have done the miracle. What you have accomplished is incredible. It seems to you, I know, that there's so far to go. And I just want you to look back just since 1987. I especially have to remind Dorma to look back. Because since 1989, where are we to? Nearly 80. Let's see, in 48 and a half months, 80 volumes. And the other things that you have done, you can't even count. And one said, can't be done. Don't give me that. You've done it. You've done it. And more than that, even through the harder times, within, you've loved it. You've loved the challenge. And everybody sitting in this room that has experienced, either from a distance or right here, look around and say, I don't know where it went. It was just yesterday. You don't sit and wait and say, thank God it's Friday. You know what? Around here, the weekends are so busy that Dorma says, oh my, thank God it's Monday.
Yeah.
And you can go back to the regular routine. But it has to be done, doesn't it? It has to be brought, integrated, merged in there so that it makes sense. A book in the archives of the Library of Congress is absolutely worthless Somebody goes and looks in it. And how many are going to go look in it? Especially to look up Khazars that you've never heard of. Or what is Walter Russell's definition of gravity that took it one step further than the half-assed definition that Newton knew he was giving to it? This is not an insult to Isaac Newton. He hypothesized on something that he experienced and could see and measure. He didn't have time to wait for that apple to disintegrate. And little Sid plopped and hit him on the head. It was already in that form, wasn't it? It was already assimilated and heavy enough to seek its density to fall down on something. Better to find out why the tree sticks up here. Why did it fall down? Well, it has a trunk. Does it? Why doesn't the trunk fall down? Well, it has roots. It's balanced, isn't it? And if it gets unbalanced and a breeze comes by, the tree falls down, just like the apple did. So the apple sits there on the ground. And if you could sit there with it for 3 weeks or a month and nothing touched it except the little vermin that come and, you know, began to ferment it, you would watch it again move into its molecules. Its molecular form would turn into gases, and it would go up. And that's what Russell is about. He finishes that equation. And yet, if you've never heard of Walter Russell, you wouldn't even know to go and look. And most of you don't know what gravity is anyway and could care less, because it's a lot better to watch Phil Donahue on sex education in the afternoon. That's what you're trained to do. And yet if you're not aware of what is going on in Phil Donahue, you don't know what to do to your civilization. So it's a catch-22.
Question command.
I would hear it.
Long
one. Well, I like long ones. My answers can be shorter.
We're getting into the Sumerians again, and I'm really happy to hear this. On account of that, it was so much fun. And not only I learned about Sister Charlotte, I learned about Telegon. Telegon came in 70,000 years ago. And he brought 200 experts with him, and took him 10,000 years to mess up the planet. And then they got in their ships and flew away again. And they stayed away for 7,000 years. So that brings us close to 60,000 years ago. And then some of the descendants of Telegon, returned, the descendants. And this is when Lemuria and Atlantis were established. And then they brought all these experts again, and it took them 10,000 years to blow it up again. The question is, where does Sumer fit into this? Telegon's time, or 60,000 years ago, in when Mu and Atlantis came on, or was it South Africa? See, these things are all a bit confused in my head.
Well, like you're going to find that as we began to share, and we'll have to make it again through the CIA and a few things like that before we really dive off into Sumer. But Sumer, of course, is in that area of southern Iraq, very near to Babylon or Damascus, not Damascus, Baghdad, in the very area which was called Sumer. I mean, there was a city of Sumer and a Sumer dynasty or kingdom. You're going to find some confusion from Atlantis. We'll put Mu aside, because basically the continent of Mu didn't just sit out here in the Pacific. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because the continents were not arranged as you recognize them. As Pan split, which was all of the landmass, the greater landmass in the beginning, began to split up. That little section of of land bridge, if that's what we might call it, was mistaken for Atlantis. And that part that is now being found, if you will, in the Mediterranean. Let me scan here just a minute. I think probably you would find bits and pieces beginning to surface. Maybe 12 miles would be to the west of Crete. Well, you see, Crete and all of that particular area was landmass. Now, that is part of old Pan, and that is also being thought of as part of Atlantis. But you're going to find that a good portion of Atlantis is off of your coastline called Florida, a little bit north of Florida, a little bit northeast of Florida, and another portion of it offshore Spain. So that area that is sunken into the Mediterranean would have been a portion of the overall Atlantis, but it's basically a part of Pan. So you're dealing with some major, major topographical changes and much devastation as these land changes came to be. And each time you go back in your journey, you will find that each one was more devastating than the one before it. But as you talk about your 60,000 year cycles, you see it's time for many of those energy patterns to return. This time you have a much greater play going on than just a civilization gone crazy or a Sodom and Gomorrah to be blown away by nuclear devices, which is exactly what happened. And then you have the death of civilization for a while, where you will basically find very few human beings, but you will always find in some of the nooks and crannies of the world, you'll find natives. The Aborigines or the natives in your country would be the Native Americans, the ones you falsely call Indian. There will still be tribes for that renewal, because it must start always again with the balance, or the ones who understand through the oral teachings of the balance of survival with nature while you grow. And then as the planet becomes more habitable, civilizations begin to come again. And it would be nice to think that there was one Adam and he just, now you've got 6.5 billion of him. That's ridiculous. Why would you go with such a farce when you can see the technology as it exists? And why would you think so smugly that you are the only civilization when you are yourself simply a thought creation. If God can create you as a thought creation, what stops him from creating another planet and another planet and another planet? And you see, this would be the ideal revival of mankind, is to all come back into the understanding of Godness, who changes ways and live happily ever after. You're too crowded? Fine. We'll give you another planet. But you see, that's not what man wants. That's not what the adversary wants. He wants the physical control over something. Look at Bush. Let's just use Bush for an example, because none of you really know what he's got. You can look at the richest man in the world and say, well, he's got $3 trillion, and you can look at Perot and say, well, he's got $2 or $3 billion. How many pairs of pants can Perot wear at one time? And how does he get into those pants? So you have a Rolls Royce. You have 5 Rolls Royces. I want to know how many of those cars can you drive at one time? So there comes a saturation point that it's silly to have more money. So what is it that keeps them moving on, that keeps this driving need? It obviously is for power and supremacy and recognition of that ego. I am so big that I can control you. This is usually what sex and politics is all about. And why it is so easy to pull down a politician through sex. Because he has become all powerful to himself, and he is so damn insecure that he has to prove his own power by these other little activities. I can have anything in the world I want. It is neither fulfilling, doesn't bring you peace of mind or heart. It usually causes a lot of heartache. Look at the Kennedy-Monroe story. What a heart-wrenching bunch of bunk. These are your leaders. These are your leaders that you put the lives of your children, your future, and your nation in their hands. And they can't even stay out of another man's bed. Well, let's just change all the morals of the world. How are you going to do that when you have the adversary pushing to thrust forth exactly what you're trying to stop? But guess what? He's never lost sight of his goal. And he has all those 5 senses and the ego of man on his side. And he has you now so confused that you go seeking and participating and acting in things that are highly irrational, are not normal responses, but you're told that that's fun, so you better go try it. Well, it wasn't all I thought it was going to be, but maybe, you know, who knows? But somehow it passes this border. This is true of your children. I could ask the youngsters in this room. Somehow, if you've been out in that world, you're expected to have some kind of sexual relationship by the time you're 12, 13. Surely you're an old maid at 17, for goodness sake. Well, it's a very disappointing relationship when it gets right down to it. And if you come home with AIDS, it is devastating. But they told you it was necessary for a full, balanced emotional life. And it's so wonderful. That heaps responsibility on the youth. They come out with no responsibility, guilt, and now they're likely either pregnancy or disease. And that's fun. It's fun, you know, to watch as the world turns. All my children. I mean, you can't tell who's married to who, except you can be damn sure they're not with their wife or the husband, unless they just married them. Well, these are kind of interesting. These are just novel stories to watch. But pretty soon, the idea is this just openness, this just let it all hang out, let us all just go. And the church says, okay, we now have to sanction this because, you know, the hierarchy of the church voted this in. And we're good Judeo-Christians, and we must what? Modernize to suit the modern world. What made the modern world? It is the unbalanced projection of activities off on people. And the first two or three times through, it's fun, maybe. I can't imagine that some of these things could possibly be fun. I cannot in my wildest dream imagine that some of the physical contortions that you once go through could possibly be fun, and you worry about dying that it might bring you a twinge of pain. And you go hurt yourself all the time, seeking. You never find it, or you wouldn't keep all that seeking going on. Well, you certainly don't want to find the truth. You know, I won't have the injection, it might work. Or, if I am foolish enough to try it, it might, and I will be wrong. Better to be right than correct and have someone titter at me. I'm not going to go over there and listen to some space cadet. Well, friends, I'm not a space cadet. She is my translator. I'm a host of God. And that's right. I experienced in life form, and I was recognized as King Dar. And I was in Capel, Dorothea. And I was recognized there and again in Egypt as the one sun, the one light. And God would never ask you to go through the tribulations that you are going to go through. The promise of God is to bring you the word. Now you can doubt everything that comes out of this mouth, but before you put it down with your thumb, I suggest you read all 80 journals and every contact, liberator, and express. And then you tell me if this little grandmother sitting in this chair has all the information offered you on everything from the highest in science to who was in Cappadocia. In 6000 BC. I speak a universal language in a radio transmission. They pick it up on every one of your grid pulse system towers around. They're even getting pretty good at Edwards at deciphering it. But it doesn't matter because everything I write through these hands goes through that computer and they are getting it. And even if they wipe out the program it's irritating to us because they could just give us the disc. But they're sneaky. They won't own up to having it, you see. But they have this room monitored both photographically and on audio. I don't care. They know I'm here. It's you who doubt. And so the next thing comes, oh, well, you mean you are going to tell us, you nitwit, and I'm going to believe that you were in Sumar. And you were the one Aton in ancient Egypt. Yes. I'm old. And I'm tired. And what is really hard for you is that most of you were right there with me. And you are old and you are tired. That's all right, because I'm going to go. Thank you for coming, you who have not been here to share before. Welcome home to you others who have found your way here. Always know you will be exactly where you are supposed to be. And blessings to you precious people who take on the responsibility of these babies. You will have help. That is my promise. Salud.